Well, today's Wednesday, April 18th. We've got another episode of the news.
Today we're doing business, crypto, and design.
I like that you paused because you're trying to think of what they were.
It's a challenge. Because we have a different number of articles in each one every week, and we have to try to balance it, and it's
always a challenge. This week is going to be especially challenging, too, because Friday's news is probably going to be bumped till Saturday because some other stuff is happening on Friday that is newsworthy. So, at least I think it's Friday. Pretty sure.
We don't really know. Dates are hard.
It's really hard to schedule news that's breaking news in advance.
What are you talking about? The media does that all the time.
My favorite story this week, I think, is this. Apple sued an independent iPhone repair shop owner and lost. And they've really tried hard to railroad this guy. Now, this wasn't in the U.S. This was in Norway. But last year, Apple's lawyers sent Heinrich Husby? I don't know. That was an attempt.
There's always that Swedish guy in the comments who will tell us that we pronounced it wrong.
Except this is Norway.
Oh, shit. Oh, I just got here and I already made a mistake.
Oh, no. Norway's customs official had seized a shipment of 63 iPhone 6 and 6S replacement screens on their way to Heinrich's shop from Asia and alerted Apple. That seems a little proactive. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, Apple, they got they're really proactive on the whole quote-unquote counterfeit thing.
Yeah, so it looks to me like this guy was just buying the screens from the actual manufacturer, and Apple tried to settle with him, quote-unquote settle with him, by telling him, hey, just tell us who your supplier is and promise not to do this anymore, and the guy declined, and it went to court there, and apparently Apple sent 5 lawyers against this guy, but he won.
Can you imagine the hourly rate there, like 5 hours?
Yeah.
Or 5 lawyers for however many hours?
Well, but if they would have won, that would have paid for itself 100 times over.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't. So their argument was, as usual, you know, he's sullying the Apple name by doing these...
by repairing.
It's the repairs that don't live up to the Apple quality standards. He argued back that he does not sell himself as an Apple company. He does not say that the repairs are genuine Apple parts. He doesn't say anything about that. He's simply repairing a phone, as is his right to do. And, you know, amazingly, he won that case.
That would never fly here in America.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would not happen here.
I really think this is a warm-up case to America, because I know that, like, Louis Rossman really pisses off Apple, so they would love nothing more than to take him down, because he's good at his job, one, and two, it doesn't, you know, it means that people are not buying new iPhones when they can get more life out of their old iPhone by replacing the battery, the screen, or what have you.
He also talked about the insane number of parts in the iPhone 8 that have little apples on them. Because even the most minute, if they can fit a tiny Apple logo on those parts, they do that because I think they think that helps their argument that it must be a genuine replacement, you know, or you're not getting the quality that Apple says that you're getting.
Well, that, I mean, they might be able to argue that, at least in America, that those are stolen parts if they carry the Apple logo because the OEM is not allowed to sell them to people other than Apple if it carries the Apple logo.
I don't think these screens did, though, or it had them covered up or something like that. So that was part of their case, but it didn't sway the judge.
Woohoo! Score one for the small guy in wherever that was, because I'm now confused.
Norway.
It was Norway. I thought it was Norway.
Good job, Norway. Nicely done. Tesla has shipped flawed parts from suppliers to a local machine shop for fixes, and they're piled up outside. So this is, I wonder what the journalist had to go through to do this.
There's a lot of pictures of these parts, but it's like, did someone have to climb over this fence? Because there's, I mean, this one, it looks like it's from outside the facility.
No, they've got close-ups.
But yeah, there's others that look like they're clearly from inside.
Yeah, so we did this, I don't know when we did the story, but someone, a whistleblower said, hey, you have no idea how many bad parts are coming into this assembly line and having to be fixed before they go into brand new cars. And apparently it's so many that they're now hiring these outside machinists to help them salvage all these parts.
I mean, if you're JL Precision, a machine shop that's apparently just outside Tesla, how cool is that? It's like, yeah, Elon Musk hired us to help them with their stuff. It's like, that's going to be something you could put on the old resume. Yeah.
Are they really helping, or are they just storing all that garbage in their warehouse?
No, they're reworking it. Because these parts, so what happens is, apparently, or at least according to CNBC, automotive manufacturers have to really, really, really watch their Chinese suppliers because they will send them junk. And there's a lot you have to go through to find the right one. And apparently old Muskie took the shortcut and is, you know, he's racing to get these Model 3s out, and he's getting a lot of junk shipped in.
Not good. Not good at all. This was also in the news because he said, oh, we've relied on too many robots to build the Model 3, and that's part of our problem.
Do you think he choked when he said that? Like, it hurt his heart a little bit? We used too many robots.
Tesla announced that it had officially missed its goal of making 2,500 Model 3 vehicles a week by the end of the first financial quarter of this year.
Now, he has promised, let's remember this, because there'll be a follow-up, that in the third and fourth quarters of this year, I think, Tesla will be a profitable company. And that's a lot. It's a lot to promise.
My favorite quote from this article is, it's a fairly stunning admission from the man who previously likened his company's massive factory to an alien dreadnought, thanks to the complex assemblage of advanced robotic arms and building its line of electric cars.
Well, look at the speed is the ultimate weapon, is the other quote that they've chosen to make a block quote in there.
So he's admitted he needs more people. I guess that's good news if you're trying to get hired by Tesla. And he's admitted that the robots were not the answer. But he thinks he's still going to be able to turn it around. He's also now reported he's sleeping at the plant.
Which, I feel like that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
You think he's out there on the line actually getting stuff done?
He's working at the pace of 10 men.
Single-handedly bringing it
up. Is he just playing foosball all day in the conference room?
Tweeting.
Well, his old company's definitely been busy. They're looking to become a bank. PayPal is rolling out banking products for the unbanked in the weeks ahead. So unbanked apparently means people that use payday loan services.
They don't use a bank, which I find that strange because I got my first bank account when I was like 16. I think we talked about that before. The idea of not having a bank seems... That's insane.
It does seem a little weird, yeah. Well, and payday loan services here are definitely usurious, like probably to the point of being illegal.
They talk about people just paying between 20 and 40% just operating from week to week because that's what they're doing. And it is crazy. I understand the banks are evil. And certainly the head of the banking system, the central banks and central planning, are maybe the biggest problem society has right now. I'll go with you for that. But I don't understand not having a bank account. You kind of need one. And this proves it. I mean, so you're going to be able to direct deposit to PayPal. Would you trust PayPal?
No,
I wouldn't. Maybe that's just us being old and not being with it.
Well, I remember, you know, when PayPal first came out and it was amazing, but also that, like, your money could just disappear.
Yeah.
I still have that like perception in my mind, and maybe that's outdated, but that's just how I think about
it. Like, what if they catch you using your debit card to buy cryptos and they don't like that and they freeze your account?
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing that would happen.
Like the traditional banks? That would be more like a traditional bank, yeah.
Well, maybe we're making the argument for them.
See, it's like the allegory from Star Trek where Lore is more human because he has all of the negative aspects of humanity, and you know, Data is quote unquote less human because he has not all of the negative aspects of humanity. So it's kind of like that. PayPal is like, we're going to be a bank. We're going to have all the negative aspects of a bank, plus all the negative aspects of being PayPal.
But when you compare them to a payday loan,
they're still better, which is sad.
There would have to be a third android who stabbed you every time he met you and bled out 20% of your blood.
The Roberto of financial institutions is what you're saying, I guess, then.
Yes. I think that might be a little racist.
It's from Futurama, damn it, Futurama. I don't know, it's fine.
Or Wendell's just a blatant racist. In which case, he could be on Reddit.
That's a good segue.
Nice. The Reddit CEO has said that open racism is not against the site rules. Now, this comes from a flurry of user comments and questions where Reddit has been shutting down a lot of subreddits that are perhaps racist or have racist things.
Well, there were a lot of the Donald Trump subreddits.
Political is not okay.
Well,
but racism is?
I don't think they used political as the excuse.
Oh, it's fake news?
I think they used, well, not necessarily fake news, but the idea that Trump's policies are themselves dangerous to minorities, you know, like that whole argument. So it's funny that you would extrapolate that, but then you would say that open racism is not against the rules. I think he has, like when he was pressed on this, he sort of backtracked a little bit. But I don't know if it was 100%.
It's like, I guess it's probably whoever is screaming the loudest will just deal with that or turn it off or whatever.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, well, of course racism is bad. We shouldn't let people be. But the question, the unanswered or the unasked question there is, who gets to decide what's racist? Because, again, there are people out there who say that Donald Trump being president in and of itself is overtly racist. And I think that's going a little too far.
When will the hate against orange people end? Oompa Loompas.
I'm just going to switch gears.
There's no segue there. We have no clever segue.
Comcast is going to start bundling Netflix into its cable subscriptions. And so this should not come as a surprise to anybody after the whole net neutrality thing. This is good for Netflix because it means that it's hard for competition, Netflix's competition, to service things. But it's also probably bad for consumers.
Well, you have to think, you know, on the surface of this, it's like, oh, well, that's their direct competitor. Why would they do that? But you have to remember, Netflix pays an extortion payment to Comcast for that bandwidth. So the more bandwidth that Netflix is moving, the more users they have, the more extortion they have to pay to Comcast. So Comcast is gaining from this, not only in PR and bringing in more customers, but they're literally getting payments. So, you know, nothing happens to that bandwidth.
I felt like that was just a brilliant move by them. Like, I'm not particularly interested in having a full package, but like, throwing Netflix with it, that's kind of like, well, it's not so bad. It almost changes my mind about getting cable.
They're without question, they're evil. They're a horrible, horrible company. But I don't think anybody's ever accused them of being stupid.
Yeah.
They're definitely using all of their resources to exploit it for as much financial gain as they possibly can.
And it's working.
And it is definitely working. So this is probably going to end badly for the consumer, as we always report.
Except in Norway.
Well, except in Norway. In a small, small victory for consumers, the FCC has said that warranty void if removed stickers are BS and it warns manufacturers that they're breaking the law by not honoring the warranty. So stickers like this on your electronics, game consoles, and whatever, not legal in the U.S. You have to honor the warranty even if somebody breaks your sticker.
But the funny thing is, this is not something that the FTC has ruled. This has always been the case. So in 1975, we had the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. So since 1975, this has been against the law. It's just that the FTC decided to do something about it now.
Why?
Because someone's paying them, most likely.
Well, who? I mean,
cares about the stickers?
I mean, the big money is on the other side of that. So if you have ever taken apart an Xbox or a PlayStation, they usually don't bother with this for phones and stuff because they're so difficult to take apart anyway. But most larger consumer electronics, the screws are hidden under these stickers. And if you peel the stickers, you can never put them back. They're actually two layers, and the void warranty is printed out right there if you peel them. So, yeah, totally illegal. So don't trust those things.
Those companies have 30 days to update their websites. So mark your calendars to check those websites.
But I wonder how long they have to get rid of those stickers.
I mean, I think the stickers are okay. They're just not enforceable.
But wouldn't that be the same as like false advertising? You're directly lying to the consumer.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole shrink wrap CD license. It's like, is it a good, or are you licensing the content, or do you own it? Because they kind of want it both ways. In some situations, they want it to be a license, and in some situations, they want you to own it. So
now they did bring up, which is another victory maybe for the right to repair, taking your item to a third-party repair shop does not void the warranty either. So even if they screw it up, you might still have a warranty claim.
That's amazing. I remember once I had a hard drive die that was sent to a repair facility. And so it came back looking completely messed up. And I was like, there's no way this can be warrantied. And the repair shop was like, no, you can totally warranty that. We put our sticker on it. And sure enough, it worked fine. Like, sending it off to get it repaired was totally okay. The drive was replaced, even though all the security seal stickers had been destroyed. I mean, the drive looked like it had been through an industrial shredder. But they honored the warranty. So, neat. I didn't know that was a thing. It's exciting.
You harass anyone enough, you can probably get anything fixed.
Except for the country.
Yeah. Sweden is doing something interesting. They are putting in the world's first electrified road for charging vehicles. So they're saying that they're only going to have to do like 15-20% of their roads.
20%. Yeah, the idea is to have no more distance between charging roads than the average electric car would have in capacity.
They also say that this is about 50 times cheaper than the alternatives for providing any kind of infrastructure on these roads to be able to not just charge electric vehicles, but like public transit and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they work like the San Francisco trolleys. You know, there's a part of your car that hangs down and makes contact with the road itself. Also, amazingly, they say they're so safe, the entire roadway could be flooded with salt water and you won't get more than 1 volt through touching the contacts.
Yeah, it's apparently 5 or 6 centimeters underground, and that's enough distance to prevent the electricity from flowing upwards. So it'll be neat to see if that actually, like, what about extraordinary situations where, like, there's water over the road and a car veers and hits a telephone pole and then a grounding wire starts touching the water. In that case, is there a flow of electricity between that? Is the one volt thing still apply?
What about lightning?
Or lightning?
I'm just sitting here thinking about, man, this is really a nerf to skate. You know, it's really going to be really hard to skate over that.
Or motorcycles?
Sweden's children are just, you know, devastated by this new improvement.
Should they really be skating on major highways?
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to.
I think motorcycles would be okay. Like rollerblades? Probably not.
Rollerblades, no. But yeah, I think cycles would be okay.
Oh, how cool would it be if you built your own electric, like instead of charging a battery, you built your own like electric scooter, like your own long haul electric scooter, which is just like a seat with a big ass motor underneath it. And you're just zooming.
Talking about a crotch rocket.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't have to have a battery anymore. You could just run the thing off the charging circuit.
We were talking about too, like earlier in the U.S., what would the percentage have to be? Because there's so many roads, at least around here, that are like so far out, you'd be nowhere near.
Well, I mean, you look at the land mass of those two. You're comparing a very large place to a relatively small place.
Yeah. So.
Theranos is back in the news this week. They're all but shutting down. They've laid off almost all of its remaining workers. They've only got about 24 people, according to this MarketWatch article. Now, Theranos, if you don't remember, is the, you know, super automated blood testing lab where all of their stuff just doesn't exist.
Well, yeah. It exists. You do get blood work results, but you're getting them from another firm that they outsource it to, and it's not actually super speedy or amazing.
Yeah, well, the selling point was the whole, like, one drop of blood. You could do a ton of tests, and it's just not true. And it's an outright fraud, and she's been already ruled against. She's not allowed to run any corporation for 10 years.
That's public company.
A silly, silly little rule. But anyway, I don't understand. They're trying to avoid bankruptcy, but like, what's the end game? How do you pull the nose up on that?
Yeah, you literally don't have a product.
Yeah.
Like, what are you selling to people?
She dropped out of Stanford, so she doesn't have a Stanford degree to fall back on.
There's some professor there who's just like vindicated right now.
I think she's still got a lot of money, though. Like, she could just not work ever again.
Eh.
I envy her.
And perhaps the weirdest story we've done in a long time, Austin is piloting blockchain to improve homeless services. Yes, that's as crazy as it sounds.
This article, though, it doesn't really go into detail about what exactly they're going to do to improve. It's just, we're going to use the blockchain.
It is. It's like on this side of the equation, it's homeless people often lose all of their belongings and their social security cards and stuff like get wet and disintegrate and they lose all their identification paperwork. And then on this side of the equation is blockchain, but they don't explain how you get from loss of all of that to blockchain.
And they also mention medical, like medical records. So that increases the sensitivity of it. But they, again, if it's not a card that could get wet and disintegrate or you could lose or could be stolen, how are you supposed to memorize your like Bitcoin wallet ID?
I bet they're gonna chip you.
That seems like maybe the way to go.
Like they did, like with my poor dog.
Are they gonna let you voluntarily be chipped, or is it gonna be like a catch and release type deal?
I think it'll be if you want your benefits, you'll be chipped.
You're gonna get an ear tag,
like the India story.
Yeah, is it really voluntary at that point though? It's like in order for us to feed and clothe you, you have to be chipped. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Your choice. But it's not really a choice.
Or to get basic medical care.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like they would do that and then be like, oh, look how great this is. And there's no side effects. And these people are so safe. And you should start doing this to your kids.
Yes. There are a lot of people that are homeless that probably should have mental health services. Like, they're just homeless because of mental problems. And so chipping the people that should otherwise be under the care of the state, is that actually a lesser evil? It's like, well, we're not going to take care of them as a society or at state level, but maybe we could chip them so we could at least, it's like you scan them and it's like, oh, this guy has this type of mental, you know, issue or this type of a hang up or whatever.
You know, and maybe I've just seen too many movies, but it seems like the belief that they've been chipped is fairly common among homeless populations. So is this just going to validate all of, you know, their insanities and is going to drive them further over the edge?
Would they try to cut it out as well if they were mentally, like, there's so many questions.
Would they try to trade them?
Oh, yeah, like, get one that's clean that says that you're not crazy.
Exactly.
Ooh. What's I would that watch worth? That movie.
What's my clean chip worth?
Seems like they could just use fingerprint or something. Although, you know, I imagine the homeless lose their fingerprints from a lot of
frostbite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we reported a couple of weeks ago that India was shutting down the cryptocurrency trade. And so one of its exchanges was trying to liquidate all of its Bitcoin back to the members of that exchange. However, they have lost all of the, there were 438 Bitcoin in the time that the exchange was shut down, and they have all been lost.
All the numbers in this article are in some sort of Indian jargon that I don't understand. I don't know what these values actually amount to. Seems like a lot. Seems like
38 Bitcoin is a lot.
Seems like they're alarmed. But yeah, these guys, they're not sure how it got lost. They're blaming the chief security officer because they did an audit and they claim there was no external breach. But somehow the keys got put on the World Wide Web for 12 hours. So it might be, if you believe their narrative here, this guy siphoned them off over time and then deleted all the logs and put the keys out in the public to make it seem like anybody could have done it.
Yeah.
Which, if that's the case, pretty smart. Maybe not smart enough.
Well, and he timed it right, at least, in the whole, right. Hey, we're going to shut down cryptocurrency exchanges. And so I guess people in India is like, oh, I was trading cryptocurrency. The government shut that down. Guess I'm SOL.
But now he can't convert it back to cash.
Not in India, but anywhere else.
Yeah.
Now they have, they've appealed to authorities to shut down his passport. I don't know if that's happened yet, but we'll see.
In other news, JP Morgan has been sued over cryptocurrency purchases. Now, we reported on this at the time. It happened a long time ago, but there's a guy who cashed out or used his JP Morgan Chase credit card to buy some Bitcoin. But he was charged like as if it was a cash advance, which he did not agree to.
Yeah, they banned the use of credit card. When cryptocurrencies fell, when Bitcoin had this big, huge fall from 20,000 to whatever it is now, 8,000, they stopped letting people use credit cards. Because, of course, they're lending you money, and what they're lending you money to buy is losing value at a rapid pace. So instead, they called those cash advances, which is a type of loan. But according to this guy, they didn't really tell him that. They just sort of did it behind the scenes. And before he knew it, he'd racked up hundreds of dollars in interest and service fees because he was getting cash advances.
Now, I think that the total damages from the fees from all the exchanges that he did was on the order of like $500 or less. But the law, the whole like Fairness in Lending Act means that he's also entitled to tort damages of like $1 million if they're guilty.
I hope he gets it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, you're going to charge me a couple of $100? It's like, all right, I'll get $1 million. That's just, the catharsis of that is just satisfying somehow.
And also the whole roller coaster of like, no, crypto is evil. We'll never be part of it. You know what? We're going to get into it. And then, well, maybe not. And yeah, that's ridiculous.
And a surprise, we're going to charge you like cash advance for it because it's like cash, except even more volatile than cash. Or even more dangerous. You could lose it, I guess. Also, big news this week is Google is redesigning Gmail for the first time in, like, forever.
I hadn't seen a whole lot about this. There's not many screenshots available. There's a couple in this article from The Verge, but it doesn't look dramatically different to me. They've added a few new features, like you can snooze an email, kind of, which is something like you can do in Outlook where you say, like, flag it and I'll look at it later. But, I mean,
And not, it's getting a new sidebar.
That's not really anything to write home about, though. It's like, there's nothing on here that's like, man, they've really improved the service.
They did stick with the, well, I guess they took it more minimalist. Yeah. There's a lot
more material design.
A lot of white space. I mean, 99 or 95% white space on some of these screenshots.
It's not going to be white space in my inbox, which is just filled and filled with tons and tons of email.
You think they'll have a dark theme out of the box?
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be nice. I wish sometimes one thing I personally would like to see would be a little more padding so that there's like more space between each email. Because when you have a ton of emails piled up, it's so tiny, it's so hard to click. And I don't check my email that often. So.
Especially with a touch interface. And I think in the preferences, they do give you an option for specifying the density of items. I think there are a couple options for that now. But
I see there's an option for like a grid, but they don't have a screenshot of that yet. I'll be interested to see as they show more stuff later.
The article says that Google is now planning to make sure the new design is available to G Suite and Gmail users in the coming weeks at the developers' Google I.O. conference, which starts May 8th. It's reasonable to assume the new Gmail design will be part of the many announcements at the show. So Google I.O. is sort of a fun show, and they do have a lot going on, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see this on or before May 8th.
Google Analytics redesign when? God, that's the worst interface they've ever made.
I think they're probably going to have a hard time with that, with the whole like the GDPR and data retention and stuff like that. I think you're going to have to retool analytics a little bit to make it even.
Oh yeah, they've announced that. I've been getting emails all week from people. It's like, Google sent me this email. What does it mean for our website? It's like, you're not in the EU. Did you not read that first line where it says in the EU?
They didn't actually. They just saw a website and then they just forwarded it straight to you.
Speaking of crummy designs, a crappy drop-down menu appeared to kill dozens of mothers in Texas.
Appeared is the important word here. It didn't actually kill anybody.
Ours, this is the most clickbaity headline ever. So this was no mothers actually died. It's just the people that died were accidentally marked as being pregnant when they were not.
Yeah, this was a drop-down. So the drop-down, the option for has never been pregnant and died during childbirth or died while pregnant, were right next to each other. And the nurses were hitting one or the other. It's actually, there's not much to this article, but scroll back to the top. Who wrote this? Beth Mohl.
It's quite long.
I got a problem, Beth Mohl. You soapbox for 15 paragraphs about infant mortality and how terrible that is. And you don't get to the actual meat of what happened until like...
The very end of the story.
Yeah, come on.
So I guess we all understand that infant mortality is bad and that we should have better health care, but tell us what happened.
Yeah, apparently the U.S. is one of very few developed countries that just doesn't have good numbers on it. And apparently the reason we don't have good numbers is because of poor software design.
Wow. There's probably some other nuanced reasons I think
you might be reading into that a little bit.
But yeah, bad UI, probably.
I'm just going by what Beth said here.
Top five reasons.
So we should protest Krista. We should get, like, you know, the anti-Planned Parenthood people and turn them against the designers.
Better UI.
Oh, that would be amazing if the people could start reporting that they're triggered because of bad UI design on stuff. That would be amazing. We might actually see some improvements in UI design.
Don't give them any ideas.
What if you identify as pregnant at time of death?
Yeah, how would you put that? It's like from a medical sense.
There's probably not even a drop-down for that.
That's going to complicate the drop-down, not simplify it.
Yeah. It's got to be an autocomplete form.
It's going to be autocomplete.
Because automatic tagging always works.
Yeah, that'll be...
Users find that very intuitive.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to move on to hardware, AI, and nonsense in the next one. So we'll see you there.